Hey, welcome in, everybody. This is the South Lot Football Guys podcast, back for the week two episode here. Had a very fun week one. We're going to break that down for you and how we did on our big picks here in a second. It's just me and Adam this week. We've got Bobby abroad right now. He can't be with us. He's traveling for work. So two-man show today, but we'll keep you informed on what his picks are. But Adam, what was your thought on week one here?
It was a crazy week. I feel like a lot happened. I think the way the NFL does week one, I think they do it right, where there is a, you know, pretty decent game at every view, every time slot. Looking at this week's games, it's crazy because the two best games are in the 12 o'clock slate. So kind of wish they did that more throughout the year, but week one was real good. You know, some surprise teams, some crazy finishes, and we'll get talking to it.
All right, well, with that, we'll get into how we did last week, and it was kind of a mixed bag. Overall, I'd say positive with our confidence picks, but we'll start here with the lead pipe locks. You know, Adam, you're our kind of a lone bright spot here. Dolphins plus three, great call.
Yeah, that was, I mean, not counting the Monday night special, we'll call it. I think that was the most watchable game of the week. Just both offenses really, really controlling that game back and forth. Whoever had the ball at the end was likely going to win, but luckily Vic dialed up a couple blitzes that stopped the Chargers on their last drive to win that game.
Yeah, it's crazy just how back and forth that game was. And that felt exactly like the way that game was going to go all along. Like, I don't know. That was just a shootout waiting to happen. And God, Cheetah is incredible. Tyreek Hill.
Oh, yeah. Just one of one.
Yeah. There's nobody out there that makes the explosive plays happen like him. Just crazy. Next up, Robbie had Pats plus four. This one was real close. Eagles jumped out to a big lead, but the Pats fought back. And they were in the red zone late with a chance to win the game. But just fell just short, and the Eagles defense held. But I think Robbie was on to something here. That was a tighter game than I think a lot of people anticipated.
Yep. Big pick six early on in that game could have definitely swung it the other way.
Yep. Next up, I can't hide from this one. Giants plus 3.5. It's hard to be more wrong on this one. You know, It was a strange start to the game. Yeah. Giants really came out and set the tone. They were running the ball well. They basically drove 80 yards down the field and then got a bunch of penalties in the red zone, backed them up a little bit, lined up for a field goal. Field goal gets blocked for a touchdown, and then all of a sudden, it was like that entire team went through shell shock, and they just never once bounced back. And the Cowboys defense was just teeing off from that point forward. So,
O-line definitely concerned with the Giants. The offseason, they were supposed to be improved. They did not look like a good unit whatsoever.
Yeah,
I know it's against the Cowboys, but the tackles especially were just god awful.
Yeah, they gotta get back to the drawing board for sure.
Better.
Yeah. So, Giants, I'm still high on them season long, but it was definitely a tough look week one at home. So to a division rival, no less. And I kind of thought the Bears were going to be the laughing stock of the weekend, but Giants won up this there.
Yeah, there's one more team.
Well,
technically not the weekend, but
yeah, we'll get to that here in just a second. Our podcast parlay, Giants money line, we know how that went. Dolphins money line hit, thankfully. And then Eagles Pats under 45. That game wound up 25-20. We pushed on that one. So really just 1-1.
Down a half unit, but I mean, we are a couple breaks away from, you know, hitting it big last week. So
yep, not too bad. All right, Adam, turn it over to you. Go off, asshole of the week.
Oh, I forgot to populate it. Asshole of the week. I'll give it to Josh Allen. Slight consideration for Sean McVay, but technically he's running the defense, so I don't think he has as much sway on the play calling, but in no way should the Bills have lost that game. I blame Josh Allen. I blame the play calling, but when you're up 10 on the road to a team that lost their MVP quarterback and really struggled to move the ball, to give up, you know, 3 second half turnovers in that position. They could have ran the ball every single play in that second half and won that game without trying. They unfortunately bit themselves in the foot. Josh Allen has zero situational football IQ. I don't know. He might just be dumb. I feel like he reverted back to 2017 Josh Allen, where he was just a rogue animal out there. For them to lose that game, I had a huge parlay riding on them, and you know, at halftime comes around, you pretty much cashing that money, and for them to lose outright in the fashion that they did, incredible collapse. But hands off to the Jets. They made some plays in that second half. Garrett Wilson with an incredible touchdown and then the punt return to win it. Good for the poor souls of the Jets fans, because I don't think they're going to be celebrating this much again this season.
Yeah, it's going to be a Zach Wilson season for the Jets, which I don't think they saw coming. But I agree with you. He was bad. I like Josh Allen, but yeah, he was terrible. And really, his last 3-4 games here, going back to the playoffs of last year and now this. I mean, it's been a rough look for him. And I don't know if he's trying to do too much or what's going on, but he's got to kind of dig deep and do some soul searching.
It's to the point now, for me at least, where, you know, I remember early last year I was really high on the Bills, where I was, you know, hammering them. I don't care how big of a favorite they are. Josh Allen right now, the way he's playing, they are capable of losing to any team in the NFL, yeah, how bad they are. And it's, you know, for the quote-unquote elite quarterbacks in the NFL, that's not the case for any of them except for him. And I'm not sure he's elite.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe him and Daboll had a pretty good connection. And then once Daboll left, he's kind of reverted back to some bad tendencies. I don't know what the issue is, but it's a rough look right now for Josh Allen. It's when I was watching that game, I just was blown away by how lazy the footwork was on some of those throws. And it's just, he's not facing any pressure, but he's not even lining up his feet right to, you know, not stepping into throws. He's just relying purely on arm talent instead of throwing in some fundamentals here and there. And it doesn't look good, but we'll see if they can bounce back. Just a quick shout out here for how we did on confidence picks. So on the week, against the spread, I was 4-2. Adam, you were 2-3. Robbie was 2-3. And then with the over-under confidence picks, Adam 4-1-1. So very nice. Robbie 1-2-1. And then I was 3-1-1. So not a bad week confidence pick.
And overall, all of us were above 500.
Yep.
Or at 500. So, I know we had a couple of bad beats, but overall, I think we did a pretty good job of picking the games.
Yeah, I would say so. So we'll see if we can keep that rolling here into week two. All right. With that, let's just get right into it. We've got a good Thursday night game here with a battle, a couple division winners from last season. It's the Vikings heading into Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. I believe you said that spread's now at 6.
Yes, it's at 6. Yeah. I think it's 6.5 on some sites, but you can get it at 6.
Yeah, Eagles 6-point favorites at home right now, over under set at 49. I was a little the higher this is kind of at my range right now. I'm leaning Eagles on this one. Seems like there's some trouble going on in Minneapolis right now. That defense is not good. They lost to a Tampa team that wasn't expected to do much this year at home. So, I mean, we'll see. But, you know, Eagles, you know, faced a tough defense, pulled a kind of a gritty game out on the road. So, you know, they'll return home here. They should get a boon from the home crowd. I like the Eagles here minus the six, but probably don't feel good enough about it to bet it.
Yeah, I like the Eagles. Getting this, I originally started at 7. Getting them at 6, I think, is a win and enough for me to bet that. I just think, you know, the way last year ended for the Eagles, you know, they gave it everything they had in the Super Bowl. Could have easily won that game. This is the first game in the link, prime time. You got prime time Kirk Cousins on the other side. But you said it. I just can't trust this Vikings defense, even on a short week. Secondary looked atrocious. And, you know, the Eagles secondary, I think, is good enough to figure out a plan to stop Justin Jefferson. So, I'm making this a confidence pick with the Eagles. I'll hold off. I do like them, but, from doing this for now 5 years, some wild things happen on Thursday night that are a little bit against the grain. So I like them, but I won't make it a confidence pick.
Yeah, I kind of had the same thoughts with the over-under. Originally, I kind of thought the 49 might be a little high. But on Thursday nights, we've seen some shootouts. Some stuff happens with defenses on short rest. So I'm going to be staying off this one, I think. Might jump in live if maybe the Vikings jump out to an early lead. But nothing I feel too strongly about with this matchup. Robbie, for what it's worth, is on the Eagles as well, but doesn't have it as a confidence pick. Next up, we've got the Raiders heading into Buffalo to take on the Bills. Bills are 8.5-point favorites here. Over-under in this one set at 46.5. Adam, what are your thoughts here?
Oh, yeah, this is it's a game I don't really know how to play. I'm going to take the Raiders getting the points. I'm not going to bet the spread. Raiders with a surprise win last week. I think their defense played a little bit better than I expected, and they got a huge performance out of Jacoby Myers. But if they can get complimentary football out of Garoppolo like we saw last week, I think they're going to be, in a lot of these games. And I don't know how you can be encouraged from what you saw from the Bills' offense last week. Defense did play good, but, if the Bills can get or the Raiders can get a pass rush onto Josh Allen, make him uncomfortable, anything can happen. So I'm going to take the Raiders with the points here. I just think it's way too much. And somehow that line shifted into Bills' favor from before Monday night to after. It was 7.5 before the game, and now it's 8.5. So I don't know how that's the case, but.
Yeah, initially when I handicapped this one, I was thinking Bills to kind of right the ship here, but you had mentioned that there might be some weather in Buffalo for this game. Could be some rain. I think you said some kind of residual storms from the hurricane, right?
That's possibly in New England on Saturday night, but I think the East Coast there's a good chance of rain for pretty much all these outdoor games.
Okay. With that in mind, I would lean Raiders, especially with a spread this high. I just think if it's raining, that'll slop up the game a bit. Hard to cover more than a touchdown in the rain, especially when you're a pass-heavy team like the Bills are. So I like the Raiders here, plus 8.5, but I'd say to keep an eye on the weather on this one to be sure. Do you want to cover... your over-under thoughts here?
Yeah, I just think the way the Bills' defense looked pretty good, and I said the Raiders' defense kind of surprised me last week in Denver. I like the under here, 46.5. I just think we've seen too much continue. I mean, going back to last year from this Bills' offense, they haven't looked good since early 2022. So I don't think that line is warranted for this matchup. So I like the under.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there, especially with the potential for weather here. I'm gonna take the under there with you. I think that's a solid play.
And just noting last week, the unders hit on all but four games.
Wow.
And that included a push. So only three overs for the entire slate last week. So some of these lines, a lot of them were reflected that the shift back to a lower point total. But this one, for whatever reason, I don't think they did it a good enough job.
All right, Robbie is also on the Raiders, but does not have a confidence pick put on this game. All right, next up, we've got the Bears heading into Tampa to take on the Bucks. The Buccaneers are 3-point favorites at home here. Over-under in this one set at 40.5. Adam, I see you got some confidence picks listed here. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. We're doing, want to mix up the mojo after a couple bad beats last weekend. I'm going with the double lock. And this game will feature one of them. But I'll cover the spread first. I'm going to take the Bears getting the 3 points. I think that this is a decent matchup for the Bears. The strength of the Bucs offense is definitely the pass game. And as much as the Bears looked awful in the secondary last week, I think that's going to be the strength of their team. And I don't think the Bucs are going to be able to run the ball even on this horrible Bears O-line, or D-line. And then on the flip side, I expect the offense to open up a little bit. They were way too conservative in week one. It really was only horizontal and short game throws from Justin Fields. So, any defense could put it, load up the box and if you're never going to beat them over the top, you're never going to win in today's NFL. So I expect a couple big plays from the Bears playmakers. And I just think them getting a field goal, I think they're probably the better team, but I think it's a good matchup for them. And I Baker's the Jekyll Hyde quarterback of the NFL. He looked really good week one. You never know when he's going to have a bad game, and maybe it comes here. So I'm going to take the Bears.
Yeah, I'm going to lean Buccaneers. Not going to play the spread, but I do like the over, and I know you like the over as well. You want to tee that up?
Yes, sir. It's going to be my co-lock of the week.
Yeah, over 40.5. This
crazy low number.
This Bears team in particular has been providing overs for the last 6 to 10 games. Really, their defense is not very good, and they've been putting up some points in garbage time. Same thing happened week one. We saw it all last season. I'm with you there. I love the over here. I think that's a good play, even if it's in the rain. I still think 40.5 is a pretty low number. So don't underestimate the potential for garbage time. But as much as I wanted to play the Bears here, I just they got so physically overmatched last week that it was a real concern for me. I'm just wondering if their front seven is nowhere near big enough to compete. At this stage, I don't know. They just seemed so small, the front seven on the defensive side, and then on the offensive end, the play calling, there was just no real creativity to it. No risk being taken, and it just felt like the Packers were able to, stack eight, nine guys inside of 10 yards of the line of scrimmage and dictate, the entire game. So until I see something that tells me otherwise, where the Bears can kind of, match with somebody in the trenches, I'm going to fade them here a little bit. So I'm leaning Bucks, not going to play it, but I'll be on the over with you. I do like that play.
Yeah, I think this one could be a little bit of a crazy game. Just two seemingly turnover prone offenses. I love the over here. I don't know how it's 40.5, given what, like you said, the Bears defense has looked like going back to the last 15 weeks, it seems like.
Yeah, I'm with you. It just seems like a crazy low number, unless they're expecting this weather to be, really bad. But
I mean, even last year, we saw the Bears put up some decent offensive numbers in some tougher conditions. So
yep.
Even if they have some rain, I like them. I like the over.
I'm with you there. Robbie's on that too as a confidence pick as well, and he's going to lean on the Bucks in this one as well. All right. Next up, we got the Chiefs taking on the Jaguars in Jacksonville. Jags are 3-point underdogs at home here. Over under in this one set at 51. This is a rematch of the AFC divisional round from last year, where Chiefs were able to take care of business against the Jags, but I think the Jags covered plus 10 in that game. So Jags being at home, a lot more respect right now being shown to that team. But I watched pretty much every snap of that Jags-Colts game, and I wasn't thrilled with, a lot of what the Jags were doing. It was a pretty sloppy game on the road to open up. Some of the play calling on third and fourth down that they were doing was way too horizontal, way too cute, instead of just being direct, especially with the likes of, newly added Tank Bigsby. They've got some power in that backfield now. Just, try to win up front and get 1-2 yards the easy way. You don't have to, pull some Philly special out of your ass to get 2 yards every game. So there were some things I didn't like on the Jags side. Chiefs, I'm expecting some sort of recovery here. We know Chris Jones signed a contract, a 1-year extension, so he's going to be playing, it seems. And then, early word right now is Travis Kelce with the long layoff. It seems like he should be playing. We'll have to monitor this throughout the week, but I think the expectation is he's going to try and give it a go and get back out there. So if that's the case, if those two guys are playing and this line is still at 3, I'm going to be taking the Chiefs, and I'll have it as a confidence play.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I like the Chiefs here, giving up the 3 on the road. I don't think the Jags looked that impressive on either side of the ball. I know Calvin Ridley did look really good, and that's a good sign for them. But, Trevor Lawrence had a real bad pick, and it seems like he's good for one really bad turnover a game. I think the Chiefs team was probably a little embarrassed of what happened Thursday night, but Andy Reid with bye weeks is incredible. I know this isn't a bye week, but it's an extra 4 days of rest, so I think that gives them a slight advantage, and I just think that the Chiefs bounce back on both sides of the ball. I think Chris Jones should be playing, depending on how he gets ramped up, but I do expect Travis Kelce to play as well, so I'm full-on Chiefs here. Confident pick. I love it. Also like this over. I just think, both offenses really are going to go off here. 51 is a high number, but 51 was a high number last week for the Dolphins Chargers, and that went over. So I just think offense is going to be rule the day here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, with Chris Jones, I mean, that was kind of an in-house holdout, right? So he was taking part in conditioning. So I would imagine, maybe the body's not calloused up for the hits yet, but conditioning-wise, I think he'd be good. Maybe not a full game's worth of snaps, but I bet he's probably 80%. So, he's been in that system a while. He should be plug and play. All right, next up, Robbie is on the Chiefs as well. This one, no confident play, but he's on the Chiefs, so that's all three of us back in the Chiefs here, -3 on the road. Next up, we've got the Lions taking on the Seahawks. Lions are 5.5-point favorites at home here. Over-under is set at 47.5. Adam, what's your outlook for this game?
Yeah, I'm. This is another confident for me. I'm loving a lot of Lions on this noon slate. But I'm really excited to watch this game. I'm going to take the Lions here, laying to 5.5. They probably did take advantage of a Lion or Chiefs team that wasn't 100%. I like them in this matchup here. I think the Seahawks last week really struggled against the run. They just didn't have the ball the entire game. Rams dictated the pace of that game. I think what we saw from the Lions last week, that's exactly how they want to play. Their first home game, those fans are going to be absolutely nuts. Going back to last year, Seahawks Beat the Lions in Detroit on a crazy ending, huge crazy game. I think both teams scored over 40, but yeah, I'm expecting a lower scoring matchup here. I think both teams are going to try to run the ball, but I just think the Lions are going to be a lot more successful, and I think they're going to own the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. So it's scary taking the Lions at 5.5 points, but I think this is a different Lions team, and the way Dan Campbell coaches, you know, with the going for it in the first quarter on their own 20, 4th and 2 on the fake punt. I just think that he's got this team dialed in and really believing. So I'm gonna take the Lions, but I do like the under 47.5. I just think that's a little too high for two teams that want to run the ball and dictate the pace of the game.
Yeah, I like it. No confident play for me this week on this game, but I'm actually going to lean Seahawks here. I just think, you know, from what we saw last year and, you know, until I kind of see otherwise, just haven't really seen the Lions be able to cover these big numbers yet, anything north of, you know, 3.5, 4.5. I need to see it. I feel like they may be one of those teams here that just kind of, they play to close games, you know. Play calling can get a little conservative when they're up. So we'll see here. I'm going to lean Seahawks. Not going to bet it, though, because I think, you know, on paper-wise, this is almost one of those games where I could see the Lions winning big or Seahawks winning outright. Just don't have a good feel for it, and I want to see the Lions really take it to somebody here before I pick them to cover a bigger number. So I'm going to take the Seahawks, but I'm a little worried about that. Seahawks, you know, coming out at home out of the halftime, what were they, up 13-3, I think, and then just absolutely dominated in the second half of that game. Pretty embarrassing. They ran the ball incredibly well in the first half, and then all of a sudden, you know, complete shift happened. They couldn't even move the ball. I think they had 3 yards in the second half of that game total.
Geno didn't look great.
Geno did
offensive
not.
Offensive line looked pretty bad.
Yeah, so a lot of question marks for the Seahawks here. So stay away game for me, but, you know, I can understand both sides of the play. Robbie, with you, though, Adam, he likes the Lions to cover the number here this week. All right, next up, we've got the Packers heading into Hotlanta to take on the Falcons. Falcons are 2-point underdogs at home here, over under in this one, set at 40.5. Adam, take it away.
Yeah, I think this is going to be another one of those really good games to watch. I'm going to take the Falcons here, money line. I think they get the win outright against the Packers in Hotlanta. They just look so impressive with their run game. You know, a two-headed crew there with Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson. O-line looked really good. I know they didn't get the passing game really going at all. Drake London didn't have a catch. Kyle Pitts had, I think, 3 catches. But I think when it's applicable, they'll be able to throw the ball just based on play action and how good they're going to run the ball. And you know, I don't think the Bears took advantage of the run game as much as they should have last week. And, you know, the stats were good for Jordan Love. But he was also throwing to some wide open guys downfield. So, I know that just looking at the box score, you'd think he had a really impressive day, and it wasn't bad by any stretch, but, I just, you know, I'm not buying in 100% yet to the Jordan Love experience. So, yeah, I like the Falcons here at home, and yeah, they're going to be a confident play for me.
Yeah, Robbie, right there with you. He likes Falcons money line, and it's a confident play for him. I'm going to lean Packers. I mentioned it, I think last week's episode. I'm not definitely not sold on Desmond Ridder as a quarterback. It's looked pretty ugly here to start. And I'm not going to be able to take him, you know, against a decent team and a decent defense, until, you know, I see him prove it. you know, in recent memory, I can only think of one team that's really been able to pull off a pure play action passing attack, and that's kind of the Titans of the last few years when Tannehill, you know, was still able to sling it well. And
it's Arthur Smith's offense.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I see where they're trying to go. I'm just not sure that Desmond Ridder's there yet to be able to pull that off against a pretty tough defense, and against the Packers, you know, offense that really dictated the line of scrimmage. So I think this could be a tough matchup for them. Definitely a step up in competition from what they saw last week against Carolina. So I'm going to take the Packers here to cover the two. And I'm going to go confident on it. So we'll see. This could be one. Maybe me and you, we could do a straight up bet on this to save us some juice. But I'm liking the Pack.
Okay.
All right. Next up, we've got the Ravens taking on the Bengals. Fun AFC North battle. All these AFC North games are going to be must watch television this year. Ravens here come into Cincinnati. Bengals are 3.5 point favorites at home, despite a rough week one performance in Cleveland. Over under in this one set at 46.5. I like the Ravens here. This one, I think 3.5 points is too many. I wouldn't be surprised to see this line come down. I think it's definitely a confidence play for me at plus three or higher. So I'll be taking the Ravens. I'm expecting a tight game here. You know, Joe Burrow didn't look great. That O-line had a lot of trouble week one trying to handle that that Cleveland pass rush. And Baltimore's got a pretty good pass rush themselves, very solid defense. So could be more trouble for Joe Burrow and crew. I think he's still maybe not 100% from that calf strain too. Maybe that's affecting his mobility. I really like the Ravens here. Confident play for me. And I know that offense sputtered a little bit against Houston, but I'll tell you what, that defense was good enough, and they were still able to cover the number. So I'll take the Ravens. I like what they're seeing. And, you know, hopefully we get Mark Andrews to go in this game. I think that's a big piece to watch out for. As of right now, he's still questionable, but you know, if he's playing, I think you absolutely fire this up. So love the Ravens plus 3.5 here on the road.
Yeah, I do too. I kind of don't understand this line. Last year, the Ravens played the Bengals really well, even in a playoff game. They were right in that. I think they look good. You mentioned week one without some key pieces on that offense. And on the other side, the Bengals, you know, they were one of the teams that underperformed the most in week one. You know, I think some of that is credit to the weather and the defense for the Browns. But I agree with you. I don't think Joe Burrow is 100%. And, you know, I'd sprinkle a little bit on the Ravens here money line. But getting them with more than a field goal is a confident play for me. I think this is a close game either way.
Yeah, I love it. I think, like you said, last year with Huntley under center, they played him close. So
I just don't know why this line isn't like 2.5.
Yeah, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, it wouldn't surprise me if maybe the Ravens didn't show a whole lot in Week One.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowing that, you know, they could probably get by just fine against the Texans at home, and then, you know, holding out for the bigger game here in Week Two. So we'll see. But yeah, love the Ravens. Robbie is on the Ravens as well. No confidence play, though. All right. Next up, we've got the L.A. Chargers heading into Nashville to take on the Titans. Titans are 3-point underdogs at home here. Over-under in this one at 45.5. You know, Titans came out against a tough road opponent, you know, with the Saints heading down to the Superdome. Went up against a good defense, played him close, but ultimately couldn't get it done. Tannehill looked very rough. No touchdowns, 3 picks in that game. So definitely some concerns there. I talked a little bit earlier about about the Lions and how I'm a little bit worried about them playing close games. Chargers are the exact same way. Tend to, you know, play to their opponents. Don't exceed, you know, don't fall too below. You know, they'll play up to an opponent. They'll play up to an opponent. They'll play down to an opponent. Them covering 3 here on the road, I just think this Titans defense is still, you know, a very respectable unit. So I'm going to lean Titans here. I don't have a confidence play on the spread, but I do like the under in this one at 45.5. I just think this defense is going to be able to do enough against the Chargers to kind of keep this game respectable, and I don't really have too much hope for this Titans offense. I don't think that they're going to be putting up big points, and I think what they're really trying to do is eat up a lot of clock in this game and control the clock on the ground. So I'm going to take the under at 45.5 as a confidence play. Adam, what do you think?
I'm going to take the Titans here, getting the field goal at home. The Chargers last week, they find a way to lose games. At the end of the first half, they kick a field goal with 10 seconds left. Dolphins don't have a timeout. Some asshole in the secondary makes one of the most egregious pass interference plays I've ever seen for a ball that was not catchable. It wasn't. They let him catch the ball and just tap him, you know, as he's down, half's over. Instead, he kind of takes him out. They get the flag, untimed down, and kick the field goal to put him up, give them 3 points and a half. And guess what? They lose by 3. So, you know, I can't trust the coaching from Brandon Staley. I think we've seen a long enough track record where he's just not a good coach. I think in this matchup, the coaching is going to make the difference. I'm a lean with the better coach team, the Titans. You know, they didn't look great, as you mentioned. I think Tannehill might be washed. But having said that, they covered on the road last week in week one and probably should have won that game. I don't think they look as bad on offense this week against a Chargers defense that has some big holes. And I wouldn't be surprised if Derrick Henry has 200-plus yards in this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, if they're able to run the ball at will, then, you know, they should be able to cover the number here and keep this game close. But you're right. I love the coaching advantage here with the Titans. Robbie is on the Chargers here. No confidence play. So we will see what he's thinking. Let's see here. Yeah, he's on the Chargers on the road here. So he thinks they'll cover the number. All right. Next up, kind of a fun one here. One rookie quarterback is going to come out victorious. We've got the Indianapolis Colts taking on the Texans in Houston. Houston's a 1-point underdog at home here. Over under in this game set at 40. Adam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is going to be my second dual lock. I'm going to take the Texans here money line, and that's going to be my other lock of the week. You know, I thought they, you know, I think they lost 25-9. I thought they looked pretty impressive on both sides of the ball. I think they, other than a couple of Zay Flowers getting downfield, they kind of kept the cap on that Ravens passing attack, and they were able to stop the run adequate. And that Ravens defense is very underrated and a good unit. And I know they only put up 9 points, failed to get in the end zone, but C.J. Stroud didn't look bad. I think he had over 250 yards. And this Colts secondary is the worst in the league. I think all 3 starting corners are undrafted free agents. I just think in this matchup, the Texans defense is going to really thrive against Anthony Richardson. And I just don't think there's enough playmakers on the Colts to keep up where, you know, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, I think Damian Pierce is a big game. I just really think the Texans are a much better squad than the Colts are, and I don't know how they're dogs at home. Yeah, love the Texans here. It's another line I just don't understand.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I love the Texans as well. I think that they're going to win this game. You know, I've got a lot of respect for D'Amico Ryans. I think he's Houston's a tough spot to be in. They don't have a great track record with hires, and you know, a lot of times they're kicking him out the door way too early. But I think D'Amico Ryans will eventually land on his feet, even if it isn't in Houston. And I bet now that he's got 1 week under his belt of a game plan, I bet he comes out and gets the dub here this next week. So I'm looking forward to this one. I think we're going to learn quite a bit about kind of these two rebuilding teams, and we'll kind of get a feel for who's a little bit closer to, you know, upper competition. So we'll see. Robbie's also on the Texans this week as well. So all three of us on the Texans. All right, next up, we've got, I think we missed something here. Robbie's lock of the week is Falcons money line.
Oh, yeah.
I should have thrown that in. That's my bad, Robbie. Falcons money line is Robbie's lock of the week. So we'll, you know, keep that in mind when you're making that pick. Next up, we've got the 49ers taking on the Rams in L.A. Right now, the Rams are 7.5-point home underdogs. Over-under in this one set at 44.5. I absolutely love the 49ers in this game. You know, the home field advantage is non-existent for the Rams, especially when they're playing the Niners. If you remember last year, that game, it was probably an 80-20 Niners home crowd. I bet we've got something similar. It'll at least be 60-40 Niners. They've got a huge presence down there in Southern California. And I just think, you know, I know they answered the bell in the second half last week against the Seahawks. You still don't have Cooper Kupp. And you're still throwing to a lot of, you know, unknown guys here on the outside. I mean, we'll see if these guys can kind of repeat some of their performances from week one. Is it Pakua? Pakua is the one guy.
From UCLA, I think.
Yeah, yeah. He had a big week, and then they've got another young guy that had a pretty decent week too. But
yeah, Tutu Atwell and Puka Nacua.
Nacua, okay. I'm of the belief, though, that the Niners are absolutely going to steamroll the Rams in this game. I don't see it being a one-possession game when it's all said and done. I think Stafford is going to be running for his life against this Niners D-line that'll get after him, and it'll just be a completely different test for them. It's going to feel like a road game. Love the way the Niners' offense looked. Brock Purdy answered all the questions from the offseason surgery. Looked good throwing the ball last week. They've got a great 1-2 punch right now with Debo and Christian McCaffrey kind of playing that positionless role, both of them kind of be anywhere on the field. So it's a tough matchup. We talked a couple weeks ago about this Rams defense. It's a lot of unknown guys. I just think the 49ers are going to absolutely eat here. No way this is a one-score game by the time it's all said and done. That's my lock of the week.
I like it. Yeah, I think Sean McVay, you know, week one, I'd have to look to see what he seems like a really good week one coach, just because they had, you know, the immense time to prep for a specific matchup. They overperformed. I don't think they're that good of a squad. And, you know, with Cooper Kupp still being out, they just don't have the firepower to keep up in this game. They really just have to stop Aaron Donald from wrecking the game, and I think they win this one easily. The 7.5 line, I'm going to take the bait. I'm going to take the 49ers at 7.5. I like the under here. I just don't think the Rams are going to be able to put up points. I see this one being like a 30-10 game where, you know, the 49ers cover by a big number, but the under still hits. I'd be surprised if the Rams score more than 13 points. You know, their O-line looked decent last week, didn't give up any sacks to the Seahawks, but I think that says more about the Seahawks pass rush than it does about the Rams O-line. Yeah, I'm expecting at least a turnover or two from this Rams team. Stafford, you know, he seems healthy, which is good, but I wouldn't be surprised if they get home to him a couple times and make his Sunday a long day. So, yeah, love your lock here.
All right, Robbie's with us too here. He's liking the 49ers in this one as well. All right, next up we've got the Giants. After that debacle of a Sunday night game, they head out west to take on the Cardinals in the Big Toaster. Cardinals are 5.5-point underdogs at home here. Over-under in this one is set at 40. You know, this is a fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you, or maybe it's the other way around. I don't know. Either way, it's going to be my fault if this doesn't work. But I'm going back to the well here, confident on the Giants. I think this is more of a fade against this Cardinals team. If this was anything more than six, I'd be pulling the confidence off of it. But I do expect the Giants to be able to kind of handle a step down in competition here, even on the road. Not a lot of people are expecting much from the Cardinals this year. And, you know, they kept it close last week against the team in kind of a bad weather game, got a defensive touchdown, which made that game close and kind of flipped it on its head. But I just think the Giants are going to come out really looking to rebound from a tough performance. I don't think we see the same turnover issues that we saw last week out of Danny Dimes. And I'm of the belief that, you know, Giants will respond in a big way. Just, I don't have much belief in this Cardinals team. I don't know if you're, are you getting anything from Rob, your brother-in-law, and this Cardinals team that's telling you otherwise?
I mean, I think the defense looked pretty good last week. But, you know, I don't think there's a lot of faith in that team to overperform. And, yeah, I don't think this is going to be much of a home team, just given, you know, Giants fans travel pretty well, and I don't think anybody in Arizona is excited about the Cardinals. So
you're leaning Giants here as well?
I am. I don't feel great about it. In fact, I feel terrible about it just because, of, you know, it's hard to pick a road favorite that lost 40-0 at home on a primetime game. Like I said, their own line looked just terrible. Fortunately, I don't think the Cardinals, you know, have any elite pass rushers. So, you know, this seems like a get right game. If they lose this game or even don't cover, I think we got to really question our faith in the Giants for 2023. But I think I'm gonna lean with what you said, and I'm gonna take the Giants here, but I'm not gonna bet this. This is a let me watch one more week to see what's going on here with this Giants team, and then maybe I'll get back on that train.
Yeah, I'm dipping my toes in here. I'll be betting on this. So yeah, I mean, if the Giants do not cover the spread, though, I will be on a full out assault of everybody in Big Blue next week on the pod. There will be that will be the asshole of the week segment if they don't cover. So we'll see. Next up, we've got Jets taking on the Cowboys in Dallas. Cowboys are 9-point favorites at home here. Over under in this one is set at 39. Adam, why don't you give us your thoughts?
Yeah, this is, you know, a pretty interesting matchup. I think it would have been a little bit more interesting if Rodgers was playing, but I'm going to take the Jets here, getting the 9 points. I just think, you know, I think a lot of people are going to be on the Cowboys and Eliminators, and kind of what I said about Josh Allen. I think Dak Prescott is capable of losing to any team in the league, but in this matchup, you know, Jets got such a good defense, a good secondary that, you know, they're gonna need to run the ball, at least on offense, to capitalize on that side of the ball. Just because I don't think they're gonna be able to pass the ball. Brandon Cooks is a little banged up; he might not play. I think Sauce is gonna lock up CeeDee Lamb, so they're gonna have to lean on a run to move the ball down the field. And on the other side, you know, that's where I'm scared. I have a tough time seeing the Jets moving the ball against this Cowboys team. But then again, I think Breece Hall looked really good coming off the ACL tear. He had over 100 yards on, I think, 10 carries. So maybe they lean on the run and play action. But I think they do just enough to cover this 9 points. I just think their defense is so good that them being a 9-point dog is unjustified, especially coming off a win against the Bills. So I'm going to take Jets here getting the points.
Yeah, I'm going to take Cowboys here. This is kind of a tough one. I don't have it as a confidence play. I don't think we're going to get the same special teams performance we got out of the Jets last week. I think Zach Wilson has a very tough test on a short week against this Cowboys defense. That's a pretty brutal ask for him. I don't know. I think this is a really tough task that he's got ahead of him. I'm kind of the belief right now that I'm expecting a Cowboys defensive or special teams touchdown in this one that kind of swings it in my favor. But yeah, I mean, I've got concerns. You know, Dak really didn't have to open it up too much last week due to the Cowboys jumping out to the big lead. And you know, if he struggles, this could go awry. But I'm gonna take the Cowboys -9. Just kind of leaning on that defense. All right, next up, Robbie is on the Jets as well. Next up, we've got the Washington Football Team or the Commanders taking on the Denver Broncos in Denver, where the Broncos are 3.5-point favorites. Over under in this one is set at 38.5. I'm going to take the team here, pretty confident in it. Really, my thoughts in this one, I don't know how you could take a Russell Wilson-led team right now to cover more than 3 points. I don't care where the game's being played. And, you know, Sam Howell, it looked ugly at times last week, but it was in a bad weather spot. I just kind of expecting another close defensive game here in Mile High, which is really what we've seen out of this Broncos team. You know, they really haven't been able to beat up on anybody, and I feel like the team defense will keep this one close, and, you know, it'll look a lot like it did week one against the Raiders. I think this is like a 17-16 game, a lot of field goals, so I'm confident here in the team +3.5.
Yeah, I am too. You know, I don't think they looked great last week against the Cardinals. Didn't need to. They had a couple of mistakes. I feel like they were moving the ball down the field the entire game, but didn't really capitalize in the red zone. Had a red zone turnover, and then they gave up the defensive touchdown. But I just think this is a fantastic matchup for them on defense. Their pass rush versus this Broncos O-line, who looked really bad, has looked bad for, you know, a couple years now. But, you know, for them to lose at home against a division rival in week one, I can't fade this team, or I can't trust this team. I think it's going to go south before it goes north with, the Sean Payton Broncos. And, you know, team, I think they do just enough here to cover the spread. Wouldn't be surprised if they won outright, but for them to be getting more than a field goal, I don't know how you can take the Broncos in that matchup.
Yeah, Robbie's right there with us as well. He's leaning team with the points. All right, we've got another good AFC East game here. Dolphins taking on the Patriots in Foxborough. Patriots are 2.5-point home dogs. Over-under in this one set at 46.5. Adam, why don't you kick us off here?
Yeah, this is another interesting matchup, Sunday night football game. I'm going to take the Dolphins here, laying a 2.5. Tua has not lost to the Patriots in his entire career. Pretty weird that he has Bill Belichick's number like that, but for whatever reason, maybe it's the lefty quarterback. It's giving Bill some trouble. And I'm just so impressed with the coaching staff of the Dolphins, specifically Mike McDaniel.
You've come full circle on that, man.
Yeah, I know. The barista. You know, he's he's an expert at drawing up plays. You know, it's Tua's doing a good job, but he's also he's making good throws, but he's also throwing to a lot of open guys. And they had Alex Ingold, you know, on a wheel route for 30 yards last week that, you know, he was wide open. He's got a lot of different options on the plays where, you know, he's not having to force balls into windows like he kind of was earlier on in his career. This is a scary matchup a little bit, just because the Patriots, I think, looked pretty decent last week, but, until the Patriots prove that they can stop Tua and McDaniel, I'm going to have to keep on betting them. So yeah, Dolphins laying a 2.5 on the road. I think my better play is going to be the under 46.5. This game should have some weather, wind and rain. I just think the way the Patriots were playing the defense, and although Dolphins gave up a decent amount of points to that last week, I think that was more their game plan. They didn't let anybody beat them downfield. They gave up, I think, over almost 270 yards on the ground. I don't think the Patriots are capable of that. So I think the defense for both teams kind of shows up in this matchup, and for this to be the third highest total on the week, I don't understand it. So I'm gonna take the under.
Yeah, you know what? If this over under is still hovering around this number, if they start confirming some of this weather, if it's gonna be as bad as you're saying here, I think I'll be on the under with you. But I like the Dolphins here as well. I bet this is, you know, a one-score game with the weather, but I bet it's more like six or 7 points. Dolphins win this one by. I think you really hit the nail on the head. Chargers are a good offense. They move the ball well. That was always going to be kind of a fast-paced game. I expect this to be much different, really. Patriots are really going to try and slow this down and eat up a lot of clock. So we'll see how it goes here, but I'll be taking the Dolphins. Robbie is confident in the Dolphins here this week. He loves Dolphins -2.5 on the road. That's a confidence play for him. All right, that's actually Sunday Night Football.
Yep.
Is that Dolphins game. We've got two Monday Night Football games this week. I'm really not sure why, to be honest with you. Saints and Panthers is the first Monday night game. Panthers are at home here, and they are 3-point underdogs with the over-under set at 40. Adam, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I don't think we saw I know Saints got the W and Panthers lost, but this is going to be an interesting game. I don't think we saw the best out of either team last week. Bryce Young didn't look great. He definitely struggled a little bit more than what I thought. He was the worst out of all the rookie QBs. But, I don't really have a good feel for this game. I'm going to take the Saints on the road getting a 3, but this is a stay-off game for me. I think that, I don't know enough about both of these teams and what they're going to look like in 2023, but I'm gonna lean to Saints. Derek Carr did look good, and he was emotional as he always is. I don't really have a take on this game.
That eyeliner is running.
Yep.
I like the Saints here. Part of me wonders if they ran up against a tough defense and that game looked a little uglier than maybe the Saints offense really is. That's kind of what I'm banking on, is more respect for that Titans D on the road last week than anything. But I mean, on paper, the Saints team should have some, viable options. I'm going to lean Saints here to cover the 3 as well. I don't have a confidence play on it, but I just think that they're going to be able to, the talent on paper, especially on the defensive side of that ball for the Saints, is very real, and I think the Saints defense kind of wins the day here, and it's tough sledding for Bryce Young in game number 2. So give me the Saints -3. Robbie is right there with us. He's also liking Saints -3. All right, final game of the week. We've got the Browns taking on the Steelers. Steelers are 2-point underdogs at home in this one. Over under right now currently set to 39.5. You know, Steelers ran up against a juggernaut last week and of that Niners team and just got absolutely dismantled at home. Pretty tough look. Browns, meanwhile, you know, in a kind of a rainstorm, tough environment, got a big win against the Bengals. That defense completely shut them down. This is a tough one for me. I don't think I can bet it because I do like the Steelers team, and I bet this is, you know, just another tough defensive battle. I'm expecting a pretty low-scoring game, so I like the Steelers with the 2 points. I'm just trying to get points wherever I can here, but I don't really like it either way. I'm a little bit worried about the Browns away from home and what that's going to look like. Maybe if the game isn't as sloppy, not as much rain as what we saw last week. So, you know, very high in the Browns, you know, and I'm going to be all in if I see them go on the road here and dismantle the Steelers. So, but, you know, for now, I'll take the Steelers getting the 2 points. Steelers got a good defense, too.
Yeah, I'm going to take the other one. Other way, I'm going to take the Browns here. It's not going to be a confident play for me. I think with these two opponents, really anything can happen with the interdivision matchup, especially on Monday night. But what I was really encouraged to see from the Browns was Deshaun Watson's ability in the pocket to escape pressure. And he almost had 50 yards on the ground. Last year, he looked really slow. He looked out of shape. And he didn't look like he had the feel that made him, you know, the superhero he was for the for Clemson and then early on his career for the Texans. That was back in week one. He looked elusive. He was decisive. Had a really bad interception, but you know, I'm encouraged by how he looked in the pocket and his feel for the game. And I think the passing will come given enough time. With this offense, I just think right now the Browns defense, especially the secondary, looked amazing. We knew that they were going to have a good D line, but you know, they were very impressive against the Bengals, potent at passing attack, and the way the Steelers looked in the past last week, unless they get mossed by Pickens for a couple big plays, I have a tough time thinking that the Steelers are going to beat them down the field. So, give me the Browns. I think they're better on both sides of the line of scrimmage, so I like them.
All right, Robbie's right there with you. He likes the Browns as well with the 2 points. All right, a quick recap here of our locks. Adam, are you parlaying these two? This is a parlay lock. You don't get this much, but this would pay. So Texans money line and Bears Bucks over 41. Look, love both those plays, so I might sprinkle some cash on that as well. Robbie coming in with Falcons money line here, and then I'm on 49ers -7.5 in SoFi in LA. What are we thinking here for the podcast parlay? I know we're all three confident on Bears Bucks over 40.5.
I think we got to go the over. It's actually, 40.5. I had it at 41 earlier. So that line's even moving in our favor.
Yep.
That has to be one of them. Let's see. What's Robbie on?
He's confident on the Dolphins. You and I are not, though. He's on the Texans, but not confident. He's on the Ravens with us, but not confident. He's on the Chiefs with us, not confident.
I kind of like the Ravens.
I do, too.
Getting 3.5.
I do, too. I'm more than happy to throw the Ravens in there.
What about the we'll see what these lines. Yeah, 49ers. Man, interdivision game. I have full confidence that they'll win, but it's a big line. What about the Commanders? Getting 3.5.
Hey,
taking
I'm in on it.
Taking the bait for both the Ravens and team getting 3.5. Let's see what
I feel better about that than I would about the Chiefs. Because I feel like there's a bit of unknown right now with the Chiefs. We could get screwed by Kelce or Jones, some weird stuff there.
So if we did those three, parlay would hit out plus 567.
Ravens team money line or just team with the points?
Team with the points.
Okay, yeah.
Not Ravens money line. Yeah, Ravens yeah. Plus three.
Team with the points, Ravens with the points. And then
over 40 and
Bears,
a half.
Bears Bucks over 40 and a half. I like that.
We're going to lock it in.
Okay.
Now we go on to the eliminator. Last week we picked the team, and they came through. It wasn't always pretty, but they got the win. And we crossed off a somewhat bad team off of our list. So I think that was a huge win for us.
Yeah.
Looking at week two schedule, there's a decent amount of games to choose from as far as big favorites. But, you know, I don't feel great about a lot of these. I know we talked about the Bills, the Cowboys, but I'm kind of liking the biggest road favorites here with the 49ers. I just have a really tough time seeing them losing outright to the Rams in a it is a road game, but they'll have the home field advantage with the fans. I love the 49ers.
Yeah, my whole thing with the Eliminator is sometimes you can overthink it if you try to save a team for too long. Sometimes it's just take you know, the week, 1 week at a time, and lock the W, and then you adjust later down the road. With this one, yeah, I think I already locked up the team or the Niners minus the 7.5. So that should tell you where I'm feeling about it. I'm with you. I cannot see a world in which they really flop that hard in a game that'll basically be a home game for them. That they were firing on all cylinders last week in Pittsburgh, and I think Pittsburgh's a better team than the Rams are. So. I love the Niners here.
Love it.
Okay. So to recap then, Niners is our eliminator. In the podcast parlay, we've got Bears Bucks over 40.5. We've got Ravens on the road against Cincinnati plus 3.5. And then we've got the team on the road in Denver plus 3.5 as well. I think I like that. I like us getting points in a couple of these spots. Should be good. And then, yeah, just quick lead pipe lock. Adam's got that parlay Texans and money line and Bears Bucks over 40.5. Robbie's on Falcons money line. Then I'm on Niners minus 7.5. Anything you want to add before we get out of here?
No, let's just hope we don't have as much heartbreak as we did last week.
Yeah, yep.
But yeah, I feel like we're on a good side of some of these lines.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yeah, you know, there were a couple bad beats last week, but we were close. And I know you and I were on a couple big parlays that just missed out.
And overall, we did pick, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
Against the spread. So, yeah.
I think we've got some good energy. I think we've got a good feel for these teams early on. So. We'll keep it going, but we'll be back next week. I believe Robbie will be in town for that one, so we'll have the full crew ready for that episode. But until then, thanks for tuning in, and good luck this week, and we will be back with you next time.